I'm here with Wayne. I'm sorry, is it Waya now?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to still call me Wayne, I mean, I ain't not gonna hold it against you. But yeah, it's Waya.
Oh, well, thank you for letting me in on that. Please, tell me what's been happening.
Well, you know, I had this great plan, sent everybody to deal with all the problems, and then we just forgot one fucking thing. Home turf. And so, we just got the shit beat out of us for a lot. Jocelyn died twice, I died at least once. Well, you know, got rendered unconscious. And, we barely managed to escape. And, yeah. That's about it. Any questions?
No, that sounds very alarming, though. I'm glad you made it.
Yeah, well, me too. But you know what? I won't kick that guy's ass. He just doesn't know yet.
I have every faith in you. Thank you, Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Oh! One more thing. Turns out I'm better at praying than a goddess is.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought so too. All right, bye, buddy.
Bye. So, you guys have passed through a portal given to you by Greenhair while he's in the midst of his Sky Beast fiasco with Billiam. You guys didn't really get to see where you were going before you went in there, but as you walk through the portal, or fly through it in some cases, it shuts behind you and you find yourselves in the superhero tower. It's, you know, Gold Fist's office as per usual, but basically no one is in there. It's essentially been evacuated, and all of the superheroes that were collected before ran off to fight the good fight with the giant 100-some-odd-foot-tall death monster that Valentine dropped on all of Prima, basically. You do see Bobby there at the controls of the interdimensional gateway machine? Sure, we'll call that. I don't have a better name yet.
I like it.
The portal pad.
Oh, there you go.
That one's just for Randy and the alliterations. But
thank you.
No problem. Yeah, so you guys exit the portal haggard and just absolutely wrecked as you are, bleeding and bruised and somewhat broken. And you see Bobby at the helm of this portal pad, and he is basically just watching the view screen that you guys have been watching before, where you guys saw the images of the Sky Beast coming through and the beast falling down and everything. And he does not look particularly happy. So, do you guys want to just kind of get a lowdown on what's going on the screen, or you guys want to, like, figure some other stuff out first?
I want to get medical attention for this unconscious sketchbook I'm holding.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
I was like, am I good? Do we do death saving throws? Is that a thing here?
You know, there's no real rules as to how people, like, go unconscious or die in the original rule book of this game, which I find pretty baffling. So we'll just have to play that one as is, but considering you're essentially safe at this point, it's fairly easy to just say you were unconscious and not going to die immediately.
Fair.
I think death is more narrative-based than actual, like, damage-based, according to the original text, which we have ignored pretty thoroughly.
That's why I was asking you and not consulting the book.
Yeah, no, you're fine for now. You're stable. You mostly just got knocked unconscious, so you probably are a little on the concussed side a bit. But we can have someone come rush over, like Bobby can come rush over and start lending some assistance. He just, like, turns around once you guys come popping through the portal, and he's like, hi. Welcome back, I guess. Oh, you guys look real rough.
I hate Bobby so much.
I don't know
such
why.
Such a passion.
He's so cute.
It's that noise. It's so gross.
Slobbers.
I just picture Jocelyn, like, just popping up and be like, oh my god, blow your nose.
I want to dive back in the portal.
She's going to move. She's probably just going to, like, curl further into Wayne, like, as much as she can.
Just unconsciously, like, flee from the voice. Yeah, so he'll come running over and start assisting. Jocelyn's the only one unconscious at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, let's see what kind of good stuff he can do. That's all right.
You can only heal me up to 80, by the way. Wait, no.
Why? Is... Yeah, you should be.
120. Oh. You can only heal me up to 120.
Okay. Yeah, he just gives you, like, 5 hit points, basically. He didn't get a super stellar roll. Mostly just enough to, like, stabilize you and just kind of, like, he cracks some smelling salts under your nose and, and he's just, like, just snap awake.
Wakes up, she's like, man, Bobby, you suck at healing.
He's not magical. He's just a normal just human really being with funny. Good medical knowledge.
She's like, you can heal me up to 120. He's like, here's 5.
If you need a...
Don't die.
Yeah, if you need a robot arm attached to your body, he can knock that one out of the park. If you need surgery, like, on an active wound, probably not your guy.
I'd say that Jocelyn would probably kind of blink awake and then look around at everybody, see that we're in the superhero tower, and then just turn her face into Wayne and just start silently crying. Like, Wayne's probably the only one who knows, but...
I will tell everyone.
We got a crier over here.
No,
everybody,
like, the image
crying.
I had is him, like, trying to, like, push her off, like,
I guess I just kind of figured that he had picked her up, like, princess style, but he could have, like thrown her over his shoulder or something.
No, I was literally thinking of, like, kind of under the arm.
That's what I thought, too.
I'll just hang there limp, then.
Wayne is not graceful.
No. Wayne is utilitarian, if nothing else. Okay. He says, well... I'm glad you made it back. Did you take care of Valentine?
Yeah.
Does it look like we took care of Valentine?
Well, it looks like you got punched a bunch, but I don't know. You could have won.
We made a tactical error.
Thank you.
There was a misunderstanding about...
territories.
Ground territories, yes. That's a good word.
Oh, you mean how they're a lot harder to fight in their own domain? Yeah, I heard about that.
Oh, I can confirm. It is true.
Well, now we have scientific proof. One step towards scientific understanding of deities.
I can't stand him. I walk away and walk over to the consoles, and I will look at what's going on the screens.
Okay.
I'm gonna dig through the saddlebag and see if there's some Claritin in there. Or like some Mucinex.
You're so mean to Bobby.
I'll join Wayne at the monitors.
Okay. Yeah, when Bobby sees you guys turn to the monitor, he gets really serious and you pretty immediately understand why. In the monitor, you guys basically see the fight that is happening in Prima, where all the superheroes went to deal with this monster beastie. And you guys see that the landscape around where this fight has been happening is an absolute just devastated war zone. It landed in Sector 2, which is the desert, so there's not like a lot of, you know, habitated areas or anything to really deal with. But even like the couple of small buildings and teeny tiny towns that you guys know are out there, you guys see just everything is just devastated. There has obviously been a very intense and raging battle. You guys see a bunch of little mech suits kind of dismembered and thrown all over the place, and tons of like sewer creatures that have been just like absolutely just swept to the side. And you see lots of superheroes, some of which you don't even recognize, just left to the wayside as well. Most of them not moving. You don't know if they're alive or if they're just unconscious or anything like that. And you guys basically are seeing the very tail end of this battle. You see Goldfist is basically just flying around, shooting all kinds of crazy technological rockets and everything at this gigantic beast, and a small robotic mouse mech like climbing up the neck of this creature as it is just like swinging wildly at Goldfist. And as you guys are witnessing this last ditch effort of the fight, you guys feel below you a deep and grinding boom as the two parts of Prima reconnect.
Nice.
Dramatically. Dramatic music. Go.
Aaron.
Yeah, you know, I gotta throw some stuff in there every once in a while. But anyways, yeah, you guys feel this grinding underneath your feet, and both Jocelyn and Wayne, you both feel this like rush as the two halves of Prima reunite, and like the, I guess for lack of a better word, like the energy of the planet like reconnects and realigns and everything connects back together. And as you feel this happen, you see in the screen a shimmering form start to appear not too far away from this huge beast. And you see a vaguely female form that is kind of like Astrana was, where it's like you kind of just are guessing she's female. It's really hard to tell. Kind of sort of sexless, but with feminine features. And you see it is a form that is completely covered in like ivy and leaves and tree bark, as if it was like some kind of crazy gown made out of just pure wilderness, appears in the sky not far from the fight. And the second she appears, the monster turns away from Goldfist and the creatures that are attacking it and immediately lashes out a hand to grab it and snatches it out of the air. And as this is happening, the little mech beast, not mech beast, mouse mech that had been climbing up its neck, like gets to the head, and you see a second rat that is sitting on its shoulder do something that you can't really recognize, and there's this huge flash of light, and once it recedes, the gigantic creature starts falling to the ground, and as it's falling, catches Goldfist under its outstretched arm and collapses to the ground, still holding this figure. And as all of this is going down, you also see drifting from the top of the picture, Valentine come drifting down and drift down to the hand of the monster. And the next thing you know, there's just a huge orb of darkness.
Fuck.
Over that area.
Fuck.
Okay. I'm gonna turn in my 2 weeks' notice.
It's backdated to 13 days ago.
Yeah, like, so, good luck, guys. Bye.
On a serious note, I'm spent. And there's literally no way we could take the time to take a rest.
You hear Bobby say, well, maybe you just need a little help.
He's gonna heal us up 5 points at a time.
5 points.
He puts a band-aid on you and you get 5 hit points.
What do you have in mind, Bobby?
He looks down at the portal panel. Is that what we went with?
Portal pad. In portal pad.
Portal pad.
Interdimensional portal pad. Gateway machine.
The portal pad.
It's like so, such a small step away from porta potty. The portal pad. Yeah, he looks down at the portal pad and he says, well, I think we have a lot of access to a lot of places here. And he starts looking around and tweaking some knobs and pushing some buttons, and he changes the view screen from the like wasteland that you guys saw before, and it jumps up to the portal that had appeared with the ring of planets around it. And he says, I bet we can do all kinds of stuff with this. Hold on. And starts twisting more knobs and pushing some more buttons and typing and typing and typing. And it looks like just your most cliche CSI bullshit keyboard jockey kind of stuff.
Enhance.
Yeah, he's got two keyboards and he's typing on both of them at the same time. Yeah. Enhance. He says, okay, well, I've read your file, so let me see what I can do. And I think the voice of Bobby has gotten away from me here.
That's okay.
He, like, turned into some weird version of Adam. But he turns some knobs and hits a button, and you see that the portal above you, or on the view screen, but technically above you, like shifts and shimmers in a fashion, and then turns into like a brilliant like turquoise blue, and you guys hear a familiar voice say, ooh, a new world and a giant portal. How lovely.
Is this Joshua?
Ooh, this looks... Yeah. Oh, yes, that's me. This all looks very bad. Very bad indeed.
Is there any chance that Eterna came with you?
It's entirely possible that she's here listening to you right now. And by entirely possible, I mean, yeah, she's here. It's like, this is like pay-per-view for us. She's eating, not popcorn, it's bread, corn, popped bread. Yep.
Cool.
So, like,
coated in mustard.
She's just like eating donut holes.
There you go. Donut holes, yes. Donut holes.
Jesus Christ.
God damn it.
Bread.
That's all I could think of. I was thinking of trying to a small bread.
I was like, croutons. I don't know.
Croutons. Oh, yeah, croutons.
Oh, there
yeah.
you go. And it's got a nice crunch to it.
I went for the sweet route, the sweet soft route. Because that's what I was thinking, like, if the portals could go anywhere, like, could we get Joshua and Eterna and maybe those mean broccoli trees and...
Anyways, Joshua says, oh, I'm not sure that... Well, I don't know how to pass through this thing yet. It seems weird, but we can do the next best thing. Eterna, turn up the volume! Okay, that's a bad metaphor. Crank out some powers. I don't know. Do something.
Just start hearing jock jams or something. Like, turn up the volume.
You hear the most epic Skrillex soundtrack ever.
That's what's going to heal us. Please, God, tell me that's what heals us. It's just amplified Skrillex.
The smell of mustard.
Yeah.
I need to email Skrillex and see if I can get some licensing going.
Dude, do it. Because I could just see, like, no, like, we're driving to the battle and Steven's just, like, blasting it out of the car. It's like, fucking, like, that's us heading to the battle. It's just Skrillex.
That's some serious shit right there.
Anyway.
And the bass always drops right when we pull up to the spot that we need to be. The bass drops.
As Biscuit's wings and there's unfurl.
A dramatic slow-mo entrance into the scene. Yes, exactly.
Sorry, off track.
It's cool. Anyways, as he says that, Crystal and Jackie and Biscuits, although you don't know what Biscuits feels, you both feel a rush as your inner magics are just absolutely going insane. You have recovered all of your hit points. And your ultra powers.
Nice.
And you have both gained 200 hit points.
Oh, shit.
As in 200 over your max.
Oh.
Ooh, temp HPs.
Nice. Wait, was my name in that list?
Nope.
No.
Aww.
Mine was, though.
Yep. Yeah, yes.
I know that Jackie sounds like neither of your names, but...
Yeah, Justin, you and I were out of that loop.
Well, we almost died with one hit, so I think he feels bad for us.
And you hear Joshua's voice say, oh yes, that's more like it. Now go kick some dark ass.
Yes.
That sounds weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was weird.
Go be heroes. Do us proud. And Bobby hits a button, and the portal goes back to darkness. He says, well, that was... interesting. Is that guy, like, cool or something? Or, I don't know.
I mean, he's definitely cool.
All right.
He's up on a cornucopia. Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he just healed us for way more than just 5 points, so that's awesome.
Feeling a little inadequate here.
He starts fiddling with some dials and knobs again, doing his CSI bullshit. And the portal you see again shimmers. This time it actually doesn't turn any kind of color. It stays completely dark. But you hear a familiar voice again, the voice of Estrana. And she says, it looks like you could use some assistance. I'll give you what I can. I think this battle is yours, though. Go make me proud and go kill your dad. And you... Sorry.
Oh, hey, Sketchbook, I think she's talking to you.
Yeah, so Jocelyn, you are also fully recovered, as well as your ultra powers, and also gain an additional 200 hit points on top of your maximum. Are you sensing a trend here?
Sorry, that's a hashtag now. Make me proud, go kill your dad.
I really should have thought of some more dramatic, like, lines for these things and, like, written them down. But that would just be against the spirit of the show.
Yeah, I was like, that wouldn't feel right.
Anyways, and Bobby clicks the button and shuts off the portal again. And he looks at you, Wayne, and says, do you have a place or what? I don't know what to do with you.
Eh, I'll be fine.
Couldn't you reach out to Gaia?
I think someone else beat me to that.
It doesn't hurt to try.
I can, I guess? No, you know what? I will astrally project and see how fast I can get to where she's being held and see what's going on.
Okay. You astrally project, you get into Crazy Frodo land and... Sauron land? I don't know. Anyways. And you rush over to where Gaia is captured in this darkness. You find that you can't enter it, but you also see that surrounding it, growing slowly but surely, are this collection of spirits of the animals and the plants and of basically Prima itself, all gathering around to try also getting into this locked off area. And as you notice them, they seem to notice you at the same time, and they all start their own version of howling at you in their various different ways. Some of them just like make little cheepy noises because they're birds and all that kind of weird stuff. And you hear the voice from inside you, the wolf, your spirit animal, say, "I think they want vengeance for this. Let them in and give them their vengeance."
All right. I mean, I agree with you fully. I don't have anything clever to say.
Wow. Go back to my body and be ready to do this.
With vengeance in his heart.
Yeah, as you kind of make this acceptance, you see a lot of them kind of disappear into like a shimmering like light and rush to your astral form, and you feel their collective rage and concern for Gaia. And as you rush back to your body and get inside of it, you also are fully recovered and have your ultra powers back and also have an additional 200 HP. So, yeah, a little bit of spicing things up.
So what's Wayne up to, like 1,000 points now or something?
525, actually.
Yeah, I was okay. 500 for sure.
That's all.
I'm going to erase that skull I drew last session.
Yeah, I had two of those, so...
Brutal. You don't take punches very well.
I look over at Adam and say, "Sorry, buddy."
Oh, it's all right. I'm all strong on my own and stuff, and yeah. My spirit animal's a refrigerator, so like I don't know that I want to get any more spiritual with that.
True, but
you know what?
I don't know. I guess I just don't feel like much of a god yet. But I guess let's go do what we need to do.
I think I have something for Adam that he'll appreciate, and it probably won't heal him, but it will certainly give him some pep in his step.
Okay.
I reach into my inventory that I always carry on me, and I pull out my 72 hours awake potion.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
What are you doing to us?
And I will tell him this is the distilled spirit of the pinball world. Don't ask how I got it.
Oh, yeah, I'm about that. Give me that. And he twists the top off and chugs it in one solid go.
Now, only take a sip or two, it should... Oh.
Yeah.
He just gave Adam go-go juice. Fuck. Yeah. We might win, though.
This is so good! Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, it's so good! I'm gonna go kill this guy, I'm gonna kill this guy!
I've had that in my inventory for so long, you all. I don't even remember where I got it from, but it's literally the first thing in my inventory.
I think you got it from Goldfist like the first time you met her? Something like that? It was like the first or second time that you met her and you were just like, "Hey, can I like get something?" And she was like, "I don't know, I got this energy drink, you want that?" She's like, "Okay, sure,
and
why not?"
I was gonna try to bless him with this unknown power that I don't think I actually have, so...
he got blessed by Uber Caffeine. He is good. So, as far as mechanically speaking, he basically has the hastily thrown together version of haste that I made. Hastily made haste. That's good.
I like it.
Yeah.
It works.
So, that'll do something. You guys will see, I guess, later. Yeah, so Adam is basically vibrating at this point. He's just like, and yeah, so you have hyped up a fucking 12-year-old, and yeah, you guys.
I feel like he can power the city. Sorry.
Like,
you can hear like a hum coming from him. I was like, oh god.
Yeah. Someone's going to hear that and go, my phone just went off.
Nope, it's just my kid. Don't worry about it.
Okay, so yeah, you've hyped up a kid. You guys have all been rejuvenated and powered up, and you are free to go about your business. You guys have all seen the mayhem and madness that the giant 100-some-odd-foot-tall magic death beast that has been taken out at this point has caused in Sector 2. So, that's where you guys are at.
So, honest question, team. If the tower was his, like, ground, like, his home turf, and he's a being of darkness, like, if we go into this dark bubble to fight him, will that also constitute his home turf?
Potentially. I mean, I don't think so, but he also landed on the thing, right? On the monster. So...
He's, like... adjacent to it, yeah. He basically he landed where the hand was because the hand was holding Gaia, and then poof, darkness.
I mean, if anything, we need to go get Gaia.
I agree with period. That.
Gold Fist was in a bad way too.
Do you remember when you used to make those suns?
I will make a sun. I would have done it in the last battle had people been able to stay up, but you know.
It was a little rough last time. Rough sledding.
Every time I was like, oh, next time I get a chance to move, oh no, people are dying.
We'll do our best
like
not to
die.
Use
my action to hold my blood in? Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, I would, my intent, and maybe if we're lucky enough, I haven't done this before, but I'm thinking if we go in, before we go in, I create a sun around us.
A solar ball, hamster ball.
Yeah,
solar
like you put the
little,
circle,
like the little,
ball.
You put the little ooze in. Oh, that, I remember that conversation going on way too long. What if we made a box, and then we carried the box, but we made it like point us in the right direction? You know you could just make a ball, right?
Yeah, so not something that we couldn't pass through, obviously. I don't have that kind of capability. But, you know, a sphere of light surrounding us so that we can be safe within that, well, safe-ish within that darkness.
I like the imagery of us fucking strolling in with just sunlight behind us. I like it.
Yeah.
Very Gandalf coming from the east
or
the west.
So
yeah.
We need to get a wind machine somehow also.
Yeah, obviously a must have. You have guiding wind? It just kind of like...
Oh my god!
Does the
I mean, technically I can have two things up at once. I could do the giant sunball.
And then do your wall of wind.
And do my wall, my barrier of wind.
Oh, and we already have a shield up, so it makes sense, right? Yeah, let's do it. I'm ready. Start brushing my hair out.
All right. So what do you guys want to do at this point? You guys are in the tower. All of this madness is out in Sector 2. You can see it in the distance. You guys know where it is, and you guys can use like the monitors to kind of get your bearing. So, what would you guys like to do then?
Is it time for us to call Steven?
Moving along. You certainly can.
I'll look over at Crystal. I'm like, I think you know what you need to do.
All right, I'll call Steven. Well, should we check out the computer? Is there anything the computer can offer us that they were building?
Bobby is operating the computer, and it seems like he's kind of gone to the extent of what he's physically capable of doing. Yeah, like a lot of the machine requires magical power, which is why its use was fairly limited when he was contacting the other worlds and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, it seems like it's pretty much served its purpose. He just kind of like looks around and is like, eh?
Okay. He's
like that. He's that NPC that has run out of like like conversation options. Just keeps saying the same thing over and over again.
All right, I'll call Steven.
Okay. Yeah, you call Steven. It rings like half of one ring, and he immediately is on the line. He's, hey, Crystal, you okay?
Yes, Steven, I'm okay.
Oh my god.
It was a little rough there for a second, but we're back, and we're okay. We're gonna take care of this, and we need a ride.
Yeah, driving is, it's what I do. I will take you wherever you need to go. I'm here for you, and I guess all the rest of them too. But yeah, let's go.
We need to go to Sector 2, so we'll meet you in the garage.
I will have the engine running and the AC on full blast.
It's like, okay, bye.
But bye.
I tried to be so strong, and I still made it awkward.
I just laughed at the, I'll have the AC on full high, but she never rides in the car.
I don't. Yeah.
That's a fair point. I didn't even think about that.
Like, I'm sure Wayne will just get in and turn it down, but...
Thinking it's the audio knob. Oh, he's not blind anymore. Okay, yeah, so you guys head down to the garage. And do you guys want to stop anywhere else, or is this a straight-to-the-car kind of situation?
I might not even take the elevator. I might just, like, jump out a window.
Is there a way I can make some more of those light bullets or whatever for... Wayne's gun?
You have to go to Wanda for that.
I believe Wanda did that, and you guys sent her out to deal with the gargantua, so.
So yeah, I'm good then.
Okay. So you get, I guess Wayne, you and Adam both just like jump out the window. Once Adam sees you heading towards the window, he's like, yeah, let's go, jump. And he like races you to the window and jumps out. This kid is moving real fast.
I want to stop by King Ultra's bar first.
Okay, yeah,
on my way down.
Yeah, shots.
Is he in there?
No.
Shot.
Is he in there?
He is in there. Yeah, he's in there. You guys actually called him to get Billiam, so he's manning the station. So, yeah, you can... who all's popping in there? Is it you and... Ghost?
Yeah, I'll go.
Okay, you and Jackie?
Yeah.
Crystal? Okay, so you guys go down to the bar and hit up King Ultra, and the second you guys walk in, he's like, oh, hey, what's up, guys? How'd the whole punching stuff go?
Not great. Make do you have a bottle good? Of vodka?
Well, I was kidding about shots.
Do I have a bottle of vodka? Yeah, I think that's a solid yes. And he you have a preferred style of vodka?
Just a bottle and two glasses.
Size of bottle?
Bottle and two glasses.
Here you go. And he just slams a bottle of tequila down and hands you full pint glasses.
So I will pour out two glasses and shift one over to Jackie. And
I will definitely take it.
And say... To us, to the challengers, we're gonna whoop his ass, and I'll shift with the bottle. I will shift the other glass to King Ultra, and then just take a shot and pull it down. I'm like, let's go.
Nice.
Walk out.
King Ultra is about this. He goes, oh, hell yeah. And he just chugs that glass, like opens his throat, and the whole like thing just like glugs down his throat in one solid gulp.
I take the bottle with me.
Of course. In Wayne style.
You've grown so much.
I say fuck yeah, and I chug too. It takes me a minute because it's a full glass of fucking tequila. But I'll
no,
do it.
Not like, you know, I know it's like a glass, but I rolled you a shot in that bitch. I didn't go crazy.
I mean, I wasn't sure.
I just imagine like getting halfway through and just being like, hold on. Jesus. Like, okay, I got this.
Tequila powers. Projectile vomiting, or just, like, sweating.
Sure. How about this? You both get one temporary additional body point for your courageous, inspiring shot taking.
I mean, I was already going to bring the bottle to the rest of the party, but hell yeah, I like one additional body point.
We'll say this is like your version of sacramental wine. It's like, it's blessed vodka.
So you said body stat is plus one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just say a temporary plus one to body.
Like, hell yeah.
Sweet, because mine is not great.
Seems appropriate.
So that's fantastic.
I was not expecting that outcome, but I
I like it. Yeah,
I'm the perfect. It's like getting I'm like, you need something? Here's some liquor.
Drink sometimes that, you gotta roll with the punches and give a little gift when your players do something nice.
I think Aaron's gonna kill us, you guys. He's being a little friendly with the gifts.
He's giving us a lot of stuff.
You're being too nice. Okay. As you guys are leaving, King Vulture goes, "Yeah, you go kick his ass. Do it for me and my scrawny ass now."
We'll be back.
Yeah, you guys meet up with the others and head to the garage where Steven is hanging out in the armored SUV with the Gatling gun on top, which you guys so kindly gifted him about a bajillion years ago. And yeah, you guys all do the usual pile-in and everything, and he says, "All right, Sector 2, here we go." And he just, like, starts peeling off. And Adam's in the back like, "Yeah, this is awesome!" He's got, like, his head sticking out the window. There you go. He's just sprinting along the side. He's got, like, his arms out like a plane. And he's just like, "Woo!"
So cute.
He, like, parkours.
I'm glad he's not in the car.
The car.
I can light up a cigarette.
Did that ever
Steven
stop
doesn't
you
even
before?
Say anything. No.
I was like, that never
he never said it out loud anyway.
I don't think I ever cared about Adam before.
You didn't.
It's a fair point. Fair point.
But now I think about secondhand smoke inhalation and stuff.
That's really
now
sweet.
Now that you're worried about other human beings and not just rats. And birds, I guess, occasionally. Yeah. Although you do hand birds and rats cigarettes on a regular basis.
You worry about first-hand smoke. He cares about other human beings. He cares about Adam. Because he's still smoking around us.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you want one?
Oh, no.
No.
Thank
I'm
you,
good, thanks.
I do hand over the bottle of vodka I took, though.
Thank you.
Chug, chug, chug.
Take a swig or three.
Yeah. Anyone who drinks it gets the same plus one. So.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So if we drink more, do we get another plus one?
No.
No, that's why Justin said or three with a chuckle.
Justin, put some in a water gun and shoot it in my mouth.
We could just hand the bottle to you out of the car.
All right.
There you go. Yeah.
I'll take the vodka
and pour some in Biscuit's mouth.
Yeah. There you go.
Awkward thing to imagine, but because he's running.
That's the most awkward thing we've imagined on this show, I'm sure.
Especially not considering unicorns in general.
Okay, we're not getting there. We're not going.
Yeah, definitely not the most awkward thing about a unicorn we've ever talked about.
Exactly.
Like, I am still blind, so I probably couldn't even find his mouth.
He does most of the work for you. Yeah, so you guys make your way to Sector 2 and, get outside the city limits, or the main city area, and get into the desert and go full four-wheeling up and down this bitch. And this place is, like I said, an absolute war zone. That monster and the various superheroes that fought it laid waste to this area. Thank God it was a desert, or else this would be a very different tone. And so he pulls up to, as close to the dark sphere as he is particularly comfortable with. So he's about, 100 yards out, and he stops the car and he says, "All right, I think this is about as far as I can go. I'll keep the turret ready to go. But, you guys gonna be okay?"
"Steven?
Did you just say my name?"
"Yeah, buddy, look. Why don't you go on and get out of here? I don't think that turd's going to do anything, and you got a wife and kids to take care of." And I'll just slam the door and walk out.
Well, it was halfway there, I guess, so, all right. So.
Before I get out, he really has a point. You should go. Get as far away from here as possible.
Okay, well, I guess I'll go hang out with Bobby and watch what's going on.
Sounds like a solid plan.
Yeah, and then you can always watch us and come back if you need to.
Yeah. To come get us when we're done.
I will. I'll be here as soon as humanly possible. I'll even speed.
He hasn't sped this whole time.
Great.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay. I think, to be honest, I think Aaron has specified once that he was going over the speed limit. So I just assume he's a law-abiding citizen since then.
Okay. And he was a race car driver. It's so funny.
Yeah, that's true. He was. Oh, man. Okay, so yeah. You guys hop out of the car, and you are faced with the madness in front of you. And Steven pulls away and heads back to the superhero tower. And I assume you guys draw closer to this here dark sphere of madness and such.
Yes.
And you guys see, like, this enormous forearm sticking out of the darkness, and you see the glint of armor underneath it that you suspect is Goldfist, and a smaller figure next to her. I assume you will want to approach?
Well, yeah.
Okay, safe assumption then. I just don't want to, like, put actions into your feet.
True.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, you get closer to Goldfist. You see her in her like Hulkbuster style armor, but it is like basically shattered, and like half of her body, from basically like the middle of her ribcage down, is like trapped under this huge, gigantic arm. And standing next to her, trying to like kind of take pieces off of the armor and stuff, is Steven the Rat, not Steven the Driver. And standing next to him in that little, like, 3 or 4 foot tall mech suit is Steven the Rat. And on that mech suit is another rat that's, like, holding on, like, piggyback style with its head, like, next to Steven's little cockpit, kind of, like, trying to, like, point and like, show him where little pieces and stuff are.
Are they scavenging her?
No, it seems like they're trying to get her out of, or at least more comfortable. It seems like the armor is broken and not functioning. So they're, like, trying to, like, open it for her. So there's like a lot of it that's shattered and stuff, and they're just like ripping plates off to get her like free, like at least exposed, you know. So that is the situation that you guys walk up on.
I will immediately start inspecting her to see, like, I'm assuming if they're trying to help her get out, she's alive. So I'm going to see what I can do there. But I'm also going to look at the other smaller figure and try to identify that one.
That is Steven and the other rat. Are you wanting to inspect the other rat? Or that was the smaller figure,
okay.
Sorry.
Sorry. Because I was thinking, is that like Rhonda or Wanda?
Okay. Nah. Okay, yeah, you check her out. Give me a medicine check. Or that's medicine, right? Yeah. Yeah? Hmm? You have a medicine skill, don't you? Medical. There you go. It's a medical skill.
I rolled a 4 and went for the Advils.
I succeeded by 7.
Okay. So yeah, a lot of her is still like trapped in this armor, but you can get like to a decent portion of her. Like her face is exposed in her neck, and like part of her upper chest is like, that's like where Steven is peeling off metal. And he basically looks up and is like, yo, what's up? I got shit to do. And he's like ripping shit off of this armor. And you kind of give her a quick once over, and with your magical powers combined with like your medical skill, you kind of suss out the situation, and you recognize that with that awesome of a roll, you recognize that she's not in great shape. She's not necessarily dying or anything. She's unconscious at the moment, but you can definitely tell that her lower half of her body has been very, very severely damaged. The armor took a lot of the bulk of the damage, so she's not like crushed flat under it like you would expect from such a huge object. It's like kind of supporting the weight, but just the sheer damage of the impact and all the other wounds that she already had from the previous run-ins with Valentine and all that. And just the fight in general, she definitely broke her back. And you see that a lot of her lower body has been basically like splintered within the armor. It seems like before this arm even fell on her, she was basically just like holding onto consciousness with like her fingernails and just trying her best to fight this thing off. And once she went down, she just kind of went out.
You know, that's like my worst nightmare, right?
I did not, but here we are.
You keep fucking with Goldfist's legs, though.
I know. You gotta get like, she's already been in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she took a lot of damage.
So is she still technically trapped under that thing? Is that what they're trying to help release her from?
Can I pick the hand up?
Yeah, like between Adam and Wayne, could they kind of like help so we could like at least pull her out? And then with my medical knowledge, like I know she needs to stay like fairly still, but you know, safely kind of pull her out so she can be loose from that at least.
Okay, so two things were brought up at once. So the rats are not necessarily trying to get her out from underneath the arm. They're just trying to like get her open, like her carapace open so that they can like extricate her when they need to. The arm is still, she's very much still trapped under the arm, so the arm is under the bottom half of her body. If you want to try and move it, you can try to, but you know, with a passing glance, you realize that it is, you know, ending in this dark orb of whatever, and even with like a basic knowledge of magic or spiritually kind of things, which most of you have at this point, you recognize that even if you moved it, the other end of it probably wouldn't go anywhere. The side that's like in the dark portal probably wouldn't move. It's probably trapped there.
Oh, and so she's partially in it as well.
No. She's just under the arm. The arm, like, if the audience won't be able to see this, but I'm gonna
do it for us.
Show
we
it.
Need help.
Like, basically, if you looked at from like just above the wrist, that's in the dark portal, and she's under the forearm, like the meatier part of the arm. So she's not in the portal or anywhere near the portal. The
and there's
orb.
No way between the strength of Adam and Wayne that they could lift it up enough for us to slide her out from underneath it.
You could certainly try.
I certainly will.
We are in like bathed in light.
Not yet, but
never mind then. Never mind that thought. I was like, wouldn't it like push it away
so,
at the edge?
This arm isn't attached to anything. It's just.
It's attached to a 100-foot-tall monster.
I won by 11.
Oh.
Okay, I'll roll for.
Keep those rolls for the rest
Adam.
Of the game.
And I've you got by... vodka strength.
Yeah, Adam won by 6. So you guys go and start trying to haul this thing, and it's kind of difficult because it's not, it doesn't really have like a lip to grab necessarily. It's got a bunch of spikes sticking out of it, so you can kind of grab onto those a little bit. And you guys try lifting, and it kind of, it like just barely starts to lift a little bit, and then it settles back down. And you hear a voice from behind you say, "That ain't gonna work, boy. I think you need a little help."
I was about to, like, boom, wind barrier. Like, fuck! And then I realized who it was. I was
like, you can't just sneak up on people like that. What the fuck?
Yeah, you turn to see Adam's father, the sword saint, and he is missing one of his arms. It's kind of a mess under there, but he's got, like, a very cliche, like, "I'm a swordsman" cloak kind of draped over where it should be. So it's not like super gruesome, but you can definitely tell that there ain't nothing there anymore. And he like motions you guys to move aside. And Adam immediately is like, "All right, Dad, I'll trust you for now. Just on a guy. That's the best I can come up with. Okay, do your thing." And he steps to the side. Wayne, do you move?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And the sword saint draws his sword and kind of does like a, you know, a deep breathing and like closes his eyes and focuses. And he just makes two huge swings with this sword, not even contacting the arm in any way. He's like a full 5 feet away from this arm. But you guys see that there is a clean line on either side of where Goldfist's body is through the arm. And it seems that he has managed to slice through the dying body of this beast with some kind of very intense magical sword play. And as soon as he does it, he just kind of like drops to his knees, and you see he kind of go glassy eyed a little bit, and he's like, "That was, yep, that was a lot. Okay." And there you are.
So, side note, so when you said his cloak was like draping like a sword whatever, I was like thinking in my head like maitre d' or waiter, so I was thinking like over the arm, and I was like, but how was it hanging there if his arm was caught off? And I realized what you were saying. I was like, yep. Oh, I'm dumb, never mind.
And it's like a glitch in a video game. It's just a towel, like, yeah, just kind of floating in the air, like, where Maitre D's was. No. Okay, so yeah, he has cut through the arm, and Adam runs over there and grabs the spike again and starts, like, pushing it upwards and starts rolling it. And he says, wait, come on, let's push it.
I will go help him.
And I'll start sliding Goldfist down.
Yeah. So you guys managed to, like, basically, like, roll this ham hock of an arm up just enough to have Jocelyn be able to slide Goldfist out from under its weight. And Steven looks up at you guys and goes, well, that was motherfucking tight. That was tight as hell. That was like some fucking anime samurai shit right there.
Can we understand him now, or is this just a...
Wayne can understand him, and the rat on his shoulder looks at you guys and says, yes, that was some sweet anime shit. Hello, friends.
Are you...
Oh. What?
You're Bobby's thing.
No. He's what's his face?
Damn it. I thought it was Bobby's little squirrel thing.
Not Master or whatever his name.
Oh god, what was his name?
Zoltuan.
There it is. I was talking about the squirrel's name.
Which, yeah, you guys Zoltuan. Decided to add a T to that name for no reason.
Zoltuan.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
When you
Zoltuan.
Don't use just the same name over and over, you get really weird fucking names.
That one was named after someone from Twitter who it turned out was a bot. So let's be real here. Anyways, yeah, that is Zoltuan. He seems to be inhabiting the body of a rat at this point. And he says, it's very nice to see you all. I'm sure this is somewhat surprising. My body was destroyed, and this poor rat who was dying decided to let me use his body.
The destroyer was destroyed.
Yes.
Sweet.
Again.
Fuck.
And you guys see Steven kind of like, after he says all that stuff, he's like, oh yeah, I had shit to do, and starts like peeling this armor back. It seems like now that he can get more leverage on it with it without it being trapped under the arm, he can actually get a lot more of it like peeled open with his like super mecha arm strength. He pretty quickly has like the top piece of the carapace ripped open, and Goldfist is lying there very unconscious and very, very, very hurt.
I will rustle around in aside a pouch of biscuit saddle and pull out a band-aid roll. Because I haven't really said it, but I hide healing stuff all over the fucking place.
This is a good time to bring it up, the thing that you haven't mentioned in 66 episodes.
Yeah, but I have said before that I keep, like, basically, like, a small, like, healer's med kit on me. Yeah.
I think you have said that,
if I can have
that,
75 boxes of crystal biscuits.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Fuck you.
There's certainly Band-Aids in some rucksacks.
I'm gonna hand it to Adam and look at him and say, go wrap your dad's arm up so it doesn't get infected, and spray the stuff on it, and I hand him a little bottle, and then I go over to Goldfist, and I start doing what I can to make sure that she doesn't get into a worse state.
Yeah, you already passed pretty wildly on a medicine check, so you are able to get to her point where she's stabilized. She's certainly not in, like, good shape, but she is alive and breathing, and as you're kind of, like, you know, addressing her situation, you see her eyelids flutter a little bit, and she says,
Jocelyn, is that you?
That's me.
Oh, that's... I could really use a massage right about now.
You're getting it. Do you want to... How about you take a drink? Something a little strong.
That'd be great.
And I hold up my hand for the whiskey bottle from Kim.
You guys have called this thing three different types of liquor.
It's
a vodka
bottle.
It's a magical bottle of all liquors. We're going to go with that.
Yeah. It's a magical bottle.
It's like each layer.
It's a magical bottle of holding.
Magic item for season 2. Bottle of all liquors.
I'm writing it down.
So I am too.
And I'll pour a sip of that into her mouth.
Yeah, and she takes it and goes, oh yeah,
Now that's pretty good right there. That King Ultra shit, he's got the best vodka out there.
That is King
Ultra. It also kind of tastes like tequila and rum and whiskey all at the same time. I don't really know how this... Is my brain hurt, or is this...
It's just magic.
Oh, that's some sweet-ass fucking magic.
Now listen.
What?
I'm gonna straight shoot you here. You're hurt, and you're hurt bad. So you need to stay as still as possible until somebody can come and get you.
Oh yeah, I ain't moving fucking anywhere. I'm tired as hell.
Okay. We've gotta go take care of business. Any tips?
Don't die.
Don't die. Kill him real good for me. I guess, you know, those are two kind of the main points right there. Just hit those points real, real good. I think you'll be fine.
You've done a really good job, by the way.
We shouldn't have sent Steven away so fast.
That's what I was thinking. Except for he doesn't have... Anyways, I'm being way too technical about it. Let's go!
Is Adam's dad still around?
Adam. So Adam is wrapping up his dad's injury very, very quickly. But also, actually, very effectively. It seems like he's actually had some kind of training or another with some kind of medical stuff, considering he's from a family of epic swordsmen. That's not terribly surprising. But yeah, you lend him a hand, and you guys patch up his dad, who's still just kind of like dazed. Like whatever he did, like really, really took some energy out of him. And he looks at Adam and says, "Boy, you looking pretty strong." He's non-swordsman folks seem like they've been treating you all right.
Yeah, Dad, they're pretty awesome. You just shut up now, and I'm going to just do this thing, and then we're going to go save the world, and you're going to be really proud of me afterwards, but I'm still not going to join the family again because this is way better. But, okay. Okay. All wrapped up.
He's a little hyped up on sugar, but I'm going to offer my hand to him. Like, which arm got caught off?
Left arm, yeah.
So I just want to shake his hand, and I want to say thank you for helping our friend. I really appreciate that.
He shakes your hand and says,
"Yeah, it's all right. You go help the boy do the thing." And he kind of like shakes your hand kind of limply, and then he kind of just like lets go and just kind of slowly lays down on the ground, and he just falls asleep.
Okay, I'll just pat him on the head. It's like, sleep sweet.
Yeah. He just starts snoring really loudly. <All right.
laughs> And this is the dad?
Yeah, this is the dad. That's
funny. I'll go over to him. I'm going to heal up Gold Fist 60 points, and then I'll walk over to him, and I'll heal him up for 60 points. And then I will kind of look around to everybody and kind of hold out my hands, like, ready to cast my spell. And do my stereotypical, like, stretch routine first, like, crack my neck.
Gotta limber up.
And I'm like, "Are you guys ready? Because you need to stay close."
I mean, we didn't want an actual hamster ball.
And then I will cast...
That's what we're getting, bitch!
The sun in a large, like, a ball of light around us. As big as I can make it.
All right, give me a roll. I assume this is a drawing roll, like your creation ability at the very least. Okay, give me a roll real quick. And I'll give you a +2 on this one because it's very inspiring.
Okay, so I rolled a 13 and my mind status 13.
So plus your creation ability. Yeah, so you've nailed it.
Succeeded.
Handily.
By
yeah.
6, yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Well, with the plus that added to that, so.
Yeah, so you just create a radiant light that just surrounds you guys. It's not like a physical thing, like a literal hamster ball. It's just that you guys are now within an orb of extremely awesome radiant light with, like, totally, like, lens flare shit going on from the outside. It's very Michael Bay, and you hear Steven from the outside go, "Now that's some fucking cool shit." And you guys are prepped and ready to roll.
Yeah, and then I'll start walking into the darkness.
All right, you guys pass through the barrier of this dark orb, and you see like the other side of the arm of this gargantuan beast. And in the hand is Gaia, and standing next to it is Valentine, standing there essentially looking as if he knew you were outside and has been waiting for you. And this is the final showdown. And this is where we'll end this episode.
I have goosebumps.
Bye. Bye.
Question.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm here for. Yeah, what's up?
Was he not used in any of those delegated plans that Wayne had sent? Or am I confusing him with the rat? I know the rat went.
Steven's
but
a fragile
Steven
guy.
The human?
I sent William. William.
No.
This is why I have a baby book name.
I know. No, but Steven the human wasn't used in any of those, right?
Mm-mm. No, no.
Okay,
Steven
okay,
the human
sorry.
Was
go
left
ahead,
out.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Steven the rat.
All right, sorry.
He is not part of the party.
Steven the car driver has a family. I wouldn't send him into danger.
He's a wife and kids.
He's about to have a family. Oh. Oh.
Oh. Damn.
Sorry.
It's about that's to get aggressive. Risque up
hey,
in here.
Hey, Steven.
Didn't see you behind me.